Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670, The Score. JD is going to move to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're going to do that then. We are continuing to talk about the story of the weekend. And face it, the sports story of the weekend in Chicago was the launch of a new sports television network.
Yeah.
A soft launch, but a launch. At some point, it has to be on. And it took a while to be on, and it's still taking a while to be fully on. But I didn't mind the little behind-the-scenes programming, the sort of experiencer stuff. I thought that was on a loop, and that was comfortable. It was upbeat, and it was comfortable, and Mark Grace is really good. And I find Ryan Dempster, as long as he's not trying to impersonate Harry Carey.
I was told he did some Harry Carey impersonation early on.
Yeah, it's just...
I was out of town, and the only way for me to consume the Marquee Network was to watch the game through the MLB.TV app. So I did that and caught the whole game, as one does. But I missed some of the programming, and whether you follow Phil Rosenthal or Robert Feeder, I mean, those who cover...
John Greenberg is writing about it, too.
Oh, yeah, John. Yeah, yep. I forget. Yeah, John does a great job and followed it as well. The reviews on the content were fairly wide-ranging, the content outside the actual baseball game. So, I'm interested in catching some of it as best I can.
But criticizing it is a fool's errand. Critiquing it, especially right now, it's going to take some time to ramp everything up. But here's the thing.
Wait. Hold on. How is it a fool's errand to critique and offer commentary on a network that has had 3 years to get itself really kind of started? At the very least, 9 months.
Because you have no recourse. You can't watch the games anywhere else.
Don't you think
they
can
listen to the games on the Score?
They can.
Damn right you can.
Obviously, you can't watch the games anywhere. You can't see it anywhere else.
But
so it doesn't matter what you think.
It's one thing to look at the game and another thing to look at the programming outside of the game. I view them as two different entities.
But the leverage is the game. And as long as that's where you go for the games and they're on that tier of cable or you're paying extra for Hulu Plus or whatever it is, what you think of the other programming, you don't have to watch that.
Right.
So then why do you want to talk about it if it doesn't matter and you can't do anything about it?
Because what does matter is whether or not they spend the money on the players.
Right.
That is of critical importance, and getting it on Comcast. But I just think it's hilarious that anybody who says, "Well, like it's there's none of this, or there's none of this, or there's not enough of this," you're watching, you're going to watch the games, and you're clamoring for it. Mm-hmm. The same people will be like, "Well, it doesn't have this. I can't get it." They finally get it. This sucks, but I'm paying for it, and I can get
sounds like the text line.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But if you're watching the games, and you're on that cable or direct TV tier.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah, there were some problems with startup, and I think you're speaking to a functional issue that I think a lot of people are going to go through. The question then becomes, when do people get it? And I don't mean that from like a you know, do they get to an agreement with Comcast before the 26th, before opening day, which I all signs point to, yeah, they will. But DirecTV has yet to bring all their customers online. Hulu Plus live streaming has not brought the product online yet. Here's what I'll end up doing, because I told you when we were talking about the network last week, week before maybe, that I've been watching. I had cut the cord, and I'm watching on YouTube TV. Well, they don't have a deal with YouTube TV yet. So my plan, and a lot of people texted in as we were talking about this earlier in the morning, my plan will be to cancel what I have now, to start up the Hulu Plus live streaming thing, and then know that I won't get the marquee network on there until somebody, you know, flips the switch, like Johnny, how about some coffee, right? I mean, this is somebody has to turn it on somewhere. So I'll wait for that. Meanwhile, I'll be logging into MLB.TV, and I haven't checked into this yet today. I'll have to do it when I get home. The hope is that MLB.TV has the restrictions lifted for local blackout during spring training, and I'll just be able to watch the games that way.
Okay.
That's my hope. That's where I'm at as a cord cutter. That's where I'm at as a streaming.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Consumer. It is a lot of work.
That sounds like a pain.
Well, the fact that I'm doing that kind of work kind of underscores your point about all the criticism about the network.
Right. You got to have the games.
I have to have the games. You know, from one way or another, from a work standpoint or from just a peace of mind, settle my soul standpoint, I need baseball on in these dark times.
708 says, by your logic, no sports broadcast can be criticized for that reason because it's the channel that has the game. So I can't say Monday Night Football sucks anymore. Yeah, you can, but the point is you're not leaving. You're there. And every time you're there and you think the same things, but you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
obviously we can criticize it, but you can't. It's not like you can walk out of a Burger King and go to McDonald's. It's not like you look at any number of car rental places that come up on Priceline and you say, well, this price, I had a good experience here, bad experience there, that a rental car is a rental car. Cubs baseball is its own thing. Did you know how many, you know, we're lucky here for the most part that we're not in these situations. Do you know how many baseball teams, you always talk about like beloved local broadcasters, there are a lot of sports teams where local broadcasters aren't so beloved.
Oh, God, yes.
They're just sort of grandfathered. Talk to a Yankees fan sometime. Talk to a Yankees fan about their radio broadcast.
Bad for your health. Keep the conversation short.
About their television broadcast. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Like, that's the station. They can do what they want. They can put who they want there. It's not really the same standard. And they know you're not going anywhere.
No, I mean, I was at a point, not last season, but the season before, when it was the Witten Booger McFarland, Joe Tessitore Monday Night Football broadcast, where I think McNeil and I were both doing it. I was literally watching the game with the sound off.
But you're watching it.
And they don't give a damn.
Right.
All they want are my two eyeballs trained onto that television set and hoping that I have a Nielsen box or something like that. And they don't care whether I enjoy the broadcast or not, just that I watch the product as it's offered. Which, I mean, that's where I'm at. I'm going to go home and change the streaming service. I will pay extra to flop over to whatever streaming service I have to go ahead and hope that somebody flips the switch to give me that network ASAP.
I found the color scheme a little interesting, too, that because the marquee is red.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a Sinclair thing, too. Who knows? That there was a lot of red.
Yeah, with all the lights around it and stuff.
Yeah, but we haven't seen, when they do more studio stuff, we'll get a little better understanding of how the desk looks and how that all shapes up.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Mm. I've had more than one person ask me why the Cubs decided to call the network Marquee.
Didn't they answer that at some point?
We know why. Because of the marquee on Wrigley Field. That's the reference to marquee that internally, and obviously they did studies, they did brand studies, they do interviews, they focus group everything, and they sit behind the one-way mirror. But I was a little surprised how many people weren't aware of the brand importance of the marquee on the outside of Wrigley Field.
That is,
and the fact that it's red.
It's one of the things. Is that landmark protected, or is it just the scoreboard in center field? Well, not just. There are other things. The ivy, I believe, and the brick wall are landmark protected.
Yeah,
is the marquee?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Was it Northwestern that painted it purple? That it was it was a big deal when Northwestern played there.
So maybe it must not be.
That they cut a deal to paint the mark, or maybe the color isn't part of it, but they painted that thing purple.
Hmm.
And what they do with the messages on there and the official pictures that are taken, when you think about it, the ubiquitous local news stand-up with that over the shoulder of the reporter.
Yeah.
You know, as,
when I shot my demo reel 10 years ago, I did. You're damn right I did one out in front of the marquee.
Yeah, that's why the network's called Marquee. And it's surprising. I took it for granted. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, because the marquee. But there were some people that never quite connected those dots for the name of their channel.
It's very glitzy, the logo, with the lights around, yep. You know, Marquee, the text and everything. It's very, you know, Fremont Street. It's very, very Vegas and showy and stuff. It's out there. I kind of like it. I did like... You know, even though not everything was functional on the broadcast, what you did have is a remarkably professional broadcast team in Len and JD and Mark Grace, and they were able to work you through some things and tell some good stories. And I think at some point, I want to say it was like the sixth or something like that, the pitch speed thing finally turned on. I was watching it with my brother, and Alec Mills is throwing, and Ian, my brother, goes, yeah, I don't think the pitch speed is up there. And I looked at him and I said, well, Alec might have asked for that thing to be turned off tonight. He's that kind of guy. I don't know if he wants to see himself throwing at 89. But I do want the bells and whistles on that broadcast. I want pitch speed. I want exit velos. I want, this is just me as a baseball fan, and what I want involved in that stuff. I want the StatCast replays. I want, you know, ground covered. I want runs above average, outs above average, all that kind of stuff. I want it placed on the screen. And I hope that they take spring training to figure out how they want to present some of those extras to viewership, because you have a play-by-play guy and a sidecar broadcast guy who's ready and willing and capable of talking about those ways we now look at baseball and explaining them without hitting you over the head with a whole bunch of cumbersome math. They're able to talk about how it matters within the game, and that'll be fun for me to walk through too. I've seen a lot of it with Benetti and Stone on the other side of town, and they do a terrific job with it. I think it's, and Len and JD have been doing this a little bit over the last couple of years, but now with the new network, it's a chance to debut a whole bunch of new fun toys.
The texter says it's not named for Marquise Grissom. Another one says it's not in honor of Jason Marquis, Marquis.
No, it's not Jason Marquis.
You know, it was Marquis. You know that? You
know, yeah, it's the French, right?
No.
French Canadian.
Hardly.
Marquis du Sade.
No.
What?
Who? No. Markowitz. When the family came over, Eastern European Jewish family.
Did not know that.
When the Markowitz family came to Ellis Island.
You're saying for this, not Marquis and Jen?
No, Jason Marquis.
Really?
Jason Marquis' family was Markowitz.
Didn't know that.
And when whoever it was came to Ellis Island and they wrote down your name, they didn't, when the guy says Markowitz.
Yeah.
So he spelled it Marquis.
Huh.
So the family name became Marquis. It was like, you know, it was like a Vito Andolini. Where are you from? Corleone. He writes it down as Vito Corleone.
Huh.
That was the name of his town. So this was, that happened all the time.
We were O'Connor when we came over, yep. And our ancestor that came over was a small-time member of the organization over there, and you decided, as he was being chased away, well, to drop the O, they'll never find me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they found him.
Yeah,
they found him.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a family at our synagogue for years. The last name was spelled EX.
Just EX.
That was her name.
Oh, because they couldn't write.
Whoever came over
or...
couldn't write. And they said, and you had to make a mark in the book when you were processed at Ellis Island. They literally made an X and it became the phonetic, that became their last name.
Huh. Pronounced X?
Yep.
Diamat?
Yep. That is absolutely, there's so many stories. Anytime you see like a weird, like how could that be?
Right.
It's probably how the guy wrote it in the book.
Well, you start to think about the guy who's writing it down, his ancestry has to come into play for whatever new name.
Whatever way.
Because if this guy isn't of French descent or something like that, and you get some name, he doesn't write it down Marquis.
Not
he writes
to mention,
it down some other
you're
way.
Talking heavy Yiddish accents who are trying to express that. You know, yeah, I mean, come on. There's all kinds of cool. I love stories like that. I find that endlessly fascinating.
It's good.
But no, Jason Marquis is not the reason for the Marquee Network being called the Marquee Network. You know what we have to get to, too? Francesa Tradamus, where Mike Francesa has an uncanny ability to peer deeply into the future.
Well, I know his powers are multifold. What did he do this time?
Yeah, he predicts the future in a way that few can. It is mesmerizing, and it is brilliant. He did this on Friday. He actually has an idea for where we as a people and where technology eventually might be able to take us.
Some fun with the Pope. You're going to love it when we come back. Bernstein and
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Night on the Score.
Now, the Wi-Fi will probably be so good in the stadiums then that will be so many levels into the whatever's past 5G. I guess 6G, whatever goes past 5G will be so good that, you know, a lot of times in stadiums where there's so many phones you can't get good service, that'll be a thing of the past. And you can use your phone for anything anyway. I mean, think about it. You can go use your phone now in so many places where you can just swipe your phone to do anything. You're going to be able to do anything you want with your phone. I mean, your phone's going to be able to do anything that you need. Buy anything, get any ticket, get anything. You're not going to need money. You're not going to need identification. All that stuff is going to all be inside your phone. That's coming without any question. That's why you can't lose your phone. I mean, you're going to be in big trouble if you lose your phone.
That is correct.
Someday.
Oh, Mike.
That was Friday. Like, someday you'll be able to pay for things just with your phone. You'll just swipe a code or scan a code or something. And
your phone's going to be able to do anything that you need. Buy anything, get any ticket, get anything. You're not going to need money. You're not going to need identification. All that stuff is going to all be inside your phone.
What is it like?
That's coming without any question.
That's coming.
What is it?
You heard it from no less an authority than the Sports Pope. On Friday, you are going to be able to pay for things with your phone.
What is it like to live in his world? I mean, because he undoubtedly woke up Saturday, someone told him, hey, you can pay for things with your phone now, and he doesn't believe that this has existed. He believes that he spoke it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to live in that world where you just create things by speaking them into your microphone while people prank call you all morning long. That is incredible. What an amazing... I did have a moment of my own with technology over the weekend. I don't own a car, so I don't need one. I get around on the train and all that kind of stuff. But I rented a car to go up to Minneapolis. And I don't, first of all, the CarPlay thing, that's just amazing.
I'm in between on CarPlay and my car.
So this was, I think this had to be a 2019. This would be like a brand new car. It just, everything works. It's all right there. It's on your phone. You swipe through it. It's fantastic. It also had, you tell me if you've had this on your car for a while, and maybe I'm just behind the times, maybe I'm pulling a Sports Pope thing here, but you hit the cruise control, and it just sets automatically. You don't have to hit two buttons. You just press one button, and you're set at the speed.
Yeah.
But it also adjusted for the car in front of you.
Sure.
So the car in front of you would get close or slow down or something like that. Then the car, on its own,
mm-hmm.
would reduce the speed so that you're trailing at an appropriate distance.
Yeah.
And then as that car changed lanes and went back and I'm in the left lane going fast, it speeds right back up.
Yeah.
This has been around for a while.
I've never been in a car that has that.
I have that. My wife's car has that.
Amazing.
I have disabled it. All of that technology, the first thing I do is disable it.
That makes sense.
Because my car screams at me because of the way I drive.
You are
my car. I set off all these alerts and all the automatic braking and automatic screaming.
Yep.
And my car is trying to keep me from driving. So the first thing I do when I sit down with my guy, Bob, I say, all right, Bob, we're getting another car here. But Bob, how do I turn the things off?
And
he knows exactly.
All
he's
of
like,
it off.
Well, we got to, okay, let me get in here and do this. And I got to do this. And he's like, all right, you sure? It's really safe. Like, yeah, get rid of that thing. The one thing I can't turn off in my car that is a proximity warning to the car in front of me. So if I'm on Lakeshore Drive coming to work and I'm trying to noodle my way around it, because I know exactly.
You're a noodler.
I know when to be in what lanes at what time. I know when the backups occur. I know when the people on their phone are going to be where it's going to matter that they're on their phone. Mm-hmm. And look, I just stay out of my, you know, my system here. But it still says, like, brake. It flashes a light that says, hit the brake. No. I hit the brake when I want to hit the brake, not when you tell me to hit the brake. I know this.
It was a little disconcerting, like having that technology in there and slowing me down. It was a lot more like it felt like you were playing a video game, not so much actually driving. Yep. So for a moment there, like you're on the highway and you kind of forget that your life is in your hands because, you know, it's not a video game. You're driving a car. It was
the Jerry
scary.
Seinfeld bit of the old Manhattan cab ride. Just it's a movie.
I just want to rewind. Is your mechanic Murph?
That's not the mechanic. It's the car salesman.
Do the voice again.
I kind of talk. He's got a little like, he kind of talks like this, Bob. Hub Arkish was just in here.
Every time I'm there, it's always.
Hub has just bought the car that you're buying.
It's not only, it's same thing with our dishwasher.
How many cars and dishwashers are you buying?
Well, it's, you know how they do these lease things?
It's been a long time.
Of us can't afford to do the lease.
They changed the law. The lease has gotten way less expensive. Now they changed the tax law on it.
Yeah, but there's that whole upfront money thing that's kind of problematic.
Not really.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're getting into.
Yeah, like what happens is when you lease a car from the same people, they'll call you because they want the used car. Because the used car to them has a lot of value if there's not a lot of mileage on it.
Well, see, that's a lot of us drive the car. A lot of us drive the car into the ground and then get the next one.
But they incentivize you. They'll call and say, and Bob will call and he'll say, hey, you want to, I can get you into a new one at the same amount per month with no money down. Okay. Like, I'm not going to stop needing a car, and they want the used one. So all they do is they extend your total term. They'll get you in. You'll make sure you're locked in for another couple of years, another three year. Hmm. And the best thing is if for unused mileage, they call it – I forgot what the term is. It's like a pull forward or a – every company's got a term for it.
But we decided it was a push forward.
If you had a certain amount of mileage that you could use and you are under the cap – you get discounts for not having used that mileage.
Well, that's the other rub, the cap on miles. Because, like, I know I looked into it years ago, but when I was driving from, you know, like, Geneva to here.
Yeah, that's, well.
That's not going to fly.
Because
like, since I've gotten my car, before we moved, I was putting 20-plus thousand miles on it a year.
So, yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of miles.
That way, friends.
No, that's going to be a very expensive lease.
I love the text line. Appreciate you all. Apparently, it's called adaptive cruise control. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying it's been around since 2014. I don't think that's true. The last car I had was a 17. 16 didn't have it. But it's a wonderful technology. And a lot of people are observing that your request to your car dealership was basically, please turn off all the technology that will make others around me safe.
No, it will endanger them. Because that technology will endanger them because my car will be stopping and starting and jerking around in weird ways and making me do things I can't control. You are way safer with that stuff.
I do wonder. I started playing around with the, you know, it's got the lane assist on it too. So, you know, in empty stretches of highway, while I've got my adaptive cruise control going, I'm just kind of letting the wheel go over to the line and seeing exactly how hard the car would adjust course and stuff.
Well,
it gets scary. You know, you shouldn't play with it.
This was a rental.
Yeah, it was a rental. It's a really nice car.
Really?
Oh, well, it's always, I rent from this place. It's a very small, you know, they don't have a lot of cars. So always,
but it's like an independently owned
rental. It's a big brand.
It's
a big brand. I don't want to mention anything, but it's a big brand, but it's a small shop, right? There's only like eight or nine cars there on the lot at any one time. So the trick is you rent the cheapest car, you know, online, and then inevitably you're going to get bumped up to something nicer, and that's a freebie. And it's just to say, hey, we got it here. You want the free upgrade. We don't have the car you wanted. You get the freebie.
Did you see what happened to Fegan in Arizona?
Well, what happened?
He just wanted, like, a Camry or something.
Yeah, that's the old baseball beat writer trick.
And they put him in the Deontay Wilder Lamborghini?
They put him in the full-size pickup?
Yeah.
James Fegan's driving around Arizona in a full-size pickup.
He was on with Herb and I Saturday, and he's like, yeah, with all this rain, I got a pool in the back of my truck.
It doesn't drain?
No.
I'm sure it can.
I was supposed to. You could make him like a mini aquarium there. You could get some sharks and drive
fish
around.
Fish walking around, stuff like that.
Yep, that happens.
You can do that.
Throw the fish at them.
Wait, are we renting on Sunday night?
We are. We're renting Sunday night.
So are you going to do this? Are you going to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, no. We'll make the play. System? Yeah, okay. I got the car. You just got to get us one place or another, and you're in charge of tunes, and please keep the Stapleton to a dull roar. I like it.
Well, Shane's not with us.
I'm
is he?
In. Why would is Shane coming to
Scorehouse? I don't know. I don't know. The Scorehouse meeting is today.
He is.
He is?
As far as I know.
Shane?
Sweet God. Really?
Suckers.
Can't wait to get yelled at all day.
Really?
You're eating your meat wrong. Well, then he better bring the cast iron. Because if McNeil made scallops last year
that was such
a good dinner.
Such a highlight. Granted, I don't remember a solid 12 hours of the trip, but that meal from Dan McNeil was mm-hmm. fantastic. One of the highlights of Scorehouse.
Yeah, I don't know if he's cooking again or what we're going to do. Do a team effort. Do we have a fire pit? I don't know anything about what's going on.
Neither do I.
You've not seen the property?
I've heard about the property.
Oh, and
but everybody keeps going. Every time the property comes up, you get shh, 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 shh.
Yeah, I don't know why we can't know about a place
good.
We're staying.
Like
the weird mystery things we endure working here.
You know why?
Like arbitrary things we can't know.
It has to be content driven. It has to be related to what they want us to know as we know it. Because
yeah, the reveal.
Yeah, and apparently and now
Chip and Joanna are going to be in front of the house when the big reveal happens.
With shiplap and
Lord knows,
subway
I love
tile.
Shiplap.
Why is everything painted white?
I know.
We have no imagination.
We're in Waco. Everything is white. I'm looking forward to it. And now that we have an actual wine sponsorship, oh boy.
Oh, it's going to be a thing.
Product placement.
Yeah.
It's going to be better back here. It's going to be like me, Herb, and Tanny just hanging out, stretching our legs. Boy, there's really nobody else here. This is great.
It's going to be a nice time to work at the station when there's absolutely no one, very little responsibility whatsoever.
You guys don't have to look at me filling up this glass space with my face.
It does fill up quick over there. It's a big face. I think we go for wine in a can, right? Because you want to be able to gesture while you're hanging out. And then
why can't we hold the bottle? We can each crack our own bottle and treat it like it's a can of beer, right?
You're right. We absolutely
we have enough. Like there's going to be more wine than we know what to do with.
Are we in for a team In-N-Out trip as well? Like, are we sold
over
on that?
It.
You're over In-N-Out.
It was fine.
It is fine, but I'll have his.
Okay, excellent.
It was fine.
Listen,
it was good. It's just like, from what I guess I'd heard too much about it.
You know my spot on In-N-Out. I get that it's probably been overblown, right? That it's probably overrated, but I love that burger, and I will be going back probably 2 to 3 times in the week.
To the one at Arizona State there? That one?
You know, I like that area.
Yeah, I know you do.
Nice place to be.
Yeah, there's a lot
to
see.
It's because of the football stadium,
course,
Dan.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous view.
That's the scenery when you're around
there. And you can't find anywhere else like that.
Right.
It's just because of the football
mm-hmm.
stadium.
I'm certain that is absolutely
it's
the case.
Only reason.
And you're representing yourself completely honestly.
Yes,
no, I'm given the opportunity. I would choose Whataburger over In-N-Out.
Maybe we do.
My experience,
maybe we do a taste test.
My experience with Fatburger has been really good as well west.
Maybe we get a couple to the house. We go through some things. If Shane's going to be there, he can yell and scream at us about which burger is which.
That sounds like a leftovers.
It sounds like a score
I
leftovers.
I wouldn't mind a Jack in the Box taco night where we just get a little.
Sounds like we're going to have the quantity of wine for that.
Or a literal pile of translucently cooked Jack in the Box tacos in the middle of a table and some of the hot sauce and the deep fried tacos. And it's just absolute taco chaos.
Go through about 40, 50 of those probably as a group.
Or we say no use of hands. Where we literally make a mound of them
and your hands to the face?
No, you have to just dive in with your face like a pie eating contest to eat tacos. Years ago, I did that with the kids years ago when my son was really into sharks and Beth was out of town. And we did.
How are those things connected?
No. Because I declared shark night.
Oh, okay.
I said, so what we're going to do is I said, tonight you're going to be, I was all into sharks and all the shark books. And I said, kids, tonight it's shark night. And they said, what happens? So I cooked up, I got baby octopus and calamari and shrimp. And I sauteed everything in garlic butter.
Okay.
And then got newspaper out and covered the table with newspaper. I threw all of the garlic butter seafood into a pile in the middle of the table. I sprinkled it with parsley, squeezed a lemon over the top of it, and I made a big thing of garlic bread on the side. And I said, here's the rule, no hands. You have to smash your face into the middle of it and treat this as if you are an actual shark.
How long did it take?
You don't have hands. It was just great. But the butter, garlic butter in the eyes.
Everywhere.
Lemon juice in the eyes. Yeah. That was, there were some unforeseen consequences of shark night, but it was fun.
Lobster across the chest.
a timeout on our heart. And it's a crossed. Make sure we get that right.
I have the team.
We prepare for that.
Speaking of basketball, Vincent Goodwill has been watching this from afar. His national perspective, by the way, ever since he escaped the Chicago market and the gravitational pull of Bad Bulls basketball, it's been outstanding stuff.
Still got a thing for the early 90s Pistons, but we'll excuse him that because he's Vincent Goodwill. And he's next, Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
But at some point, you do make right draft picks. Like, even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
Who is that, maybe, I wonder? Who is that voice? I think it was that of Vincent Goodwill. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Vincent Goodwill is Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer. He is on Twitter at Vince Goodwill. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. I'm not sure how closely you're paying attention to what is happening with Chicago Bulls basketball, but we had a little bit of drama over the weekend with Jim Boylan taking a Jim Boylan, and that is the useless timeout with a double-digit deficit with 10 seconds left, and Zach LaVine called him out on it, and then they apparently tried to talk their way through it, Vince, but the takeaway from Zach LaVine is he's the coach. He's going to do what he do. So where does that leave us?
Well, let's appreciate, before we even begin, whoever found that clip of me meshing together two terrible metaphors. And I will say this is a really, really somber day today because of Kobe Bryant's funeral, and you guys have made me laugh in a way I did not expect to. So bravo to you or Jay that put that together. You get a round of applause from me. As for your Chicago Bulls, the timeout from Jim Boylan seems to be the most childish, like, non-productive thing that I've seen an NBA coach do in all of my years of doing it. Like he claims it's a thing about, what, development and working ATOs and all this other type of stuff. You don't get anything from that. I guarantee you that he's not looking at that the next day in film session and going over that with the players. I can almost guarantee that something like that is not happening. It is childish. It is defiant in a way that 47 minutes couldn't be done with. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want a better result, then coach your team better in the 47 minutes that matter. Mm-hmm. Don't try to show that you're teaching and all this other type of stuff in the last 10 seconds. It's childish. It's unprofessional. It's demeaning to the players who've played this game their entire lives. It's demeaning to the league and the opponents. I hate to say it with such passion, but it doesn't make any sense. And you're putting players in such a difficult position, be it Zach LaVine or Thaddeus Young or anybody else that's had any level of NBA experience to this point, to defend your nonsense and why. So you can show everybody that you're a quote-unquote teacher. Teaching is done in the dark, and the results show in the light. Nobody wants to see that nonsense.
Vincent, I was thinking about this myself, and even for all of the – if we're wrong, if he's got a point, the cost of being right about these timeouts, it's enormous. Losing Zach, losing players, losing attention, losing games like this.
But then he denies that there's any issue with the players. He's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you reading his mind? I mean, even on that level, he won't even acknowledge that there is a tension.
No. I don't get, like, here's the thing. Don't insult our intelligence either. Like, that's the greater thing. Like, you know, sometimes it's a little too late in the day to call me an idiot. And 10 o'clock at night after you just lost another game, it's a little too late to be calling the media idiots for basically suggesting that you're doing something uselessly. And I think Jim Boylan, by all accounts, seems like a good person, a fine human being and everything else. But he does not comport himself like a head coach in a professional basketball setting. Like, the whole thing about Garn Packs don't have a problem with it, so I'm going to keep doing it. That's fine, but do you want to keep the team that you have engaged? Like, to me, it becomes so much more about you and your tactics and your defiance to the media, your defiance to Chicago and all this other stuff, than it is about your actual team. And to me, the only way a coach can be bigger than a team is if we're talking about Phil Jackson, Larry Brown, Red Auerbach, someone who has the skins on the wall to do that. Everything to me that he's done has almost come across like, this is my show. I'm doing this. I'm, you know, the wind sprints, the push-ups. That doesn't seem like it's instilling anything in these players or changing habits or developing some culture. Because guess what? They're still losing. They're losing in a worse way. You don't see any development in the players. The only player that's truly developed is Zach LaVine. And you can't attribute that to the relationship that he and Zach have. So I can't see anything that he's doing bearing any fruits. And whether that stems from Fred Hoiberg's, you know, shift that he ran and everything else, or Boylan's own NBA coaching dreams, like, you have to connect the dots here. Like, I'm asking him to connect the dots here. This has to make sense for me.
In what way, Vincent, are you looking at the reports of the Bulls adding someone into the front office? Is that grain of salt, cup of tea, glass of scotch? Like, what do you take with this kind of news, and how do you analyze it?
For Bulls fans, I hope it's a shot of tequila. but I believe, look, if you know, the thing that I would say to anybody, or, you know, if I were to have an audience with, you know, Jerry or Michael Reinsdorf, would be, you know, this is a world-class organization. So, you know, this is supposed to be that, you know, and with major support from its fans and in a great history, right? They're on the back end of the golden era, most people's first NBA memories, especially international, you know, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Your organization deserves better. Your fans deserve better. Your product deserves better. So do I think that there's something to it? Absolutely. Do I have a fear that maybe they won't go as far as they need to go? That is a question that I'm very curious about, because what type of executive will you be able to bring in if some of the deck chairs are just reshuffled? If John Paxson stays, if Gar Forman stays, how will anybody be able to come in and feel like they have the autonomy, the freedom to come in and do their job in a very different way than things have been done? Like, I can pretty much guarantee you that most people who would, you know, take this position probably want to do it in a different manner than the way it's been done. It'll probably be a shock to the system compared to the way things have been done around here. So you don't want to feel like you're going to be undermined by, you know, the guys who have been in charge, because everything will seem like sort of like an affront to them and an affront to the way that they've done things. And it's going to be on, you know, Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf to sort of break away from the things that they, you know, their own sort of, you know, natural habits, so to speak, to figure out, you know, what's best for their organization. But I'm very curious how far they will go as far as making changes, how much autonomy. I think the quality of candidates will determine exactly how far they are or are not willing to go.
One of the names we're hearing is right out of the Great Gatsby. It is Chad Buchanan, the general manager of the Indiana Pacers. What do you know about him, and what kind of power has he earned?
Well, I think when you look at the way that the Pacers have done things, and it's not a bad strategy when you're looking at a smaller market team that did not completely bottom out, right? They had chances to completely bottom out, be it after in 2004, where a lot of their fans turned on them, or after the Paul George debacle, where they very well could have gone into the quote-unquote process. But instead, they made smart, shrewd moves. You know, Kevin Pritchard is there. Larry Bird is still, you know, around the organization, kind of like Yoda, so to speak. And you got a guy like Chad Buchanan that, you know, these guys do a lot of the day-to-day type of things. They have those relationships around the league. They're, you know, adept at scouting. And now if you put him in a place like Chicago where, you know, there's a lot more resources, it's not a small media market. It's a larger market where you have a little bit more room to play with, then maybe that's a thought. Well, let's see what he can do if he has a little bit more room to wiggle with. You know, will we be able to attract free agents and everything else? Like, that's the thing that I'm more curious about, not just Chad Buchanan or anybody like that, because he could be a very fine pick. But the goal is going to be, how do we get guys to look at Chicago as a free agent destination? How do we sell ourselves and our organization? And you have to have somebody that honestly, guys, that has a face and a voice for the public. Mm-hmm. Because there has been a lot of mistrust in terms of, you know, how things have been perceived from the Bulls organization to the media, to the fans, to the public. And, you know, we all know that the media are conduits. And I think you have to consider who and what type of personality and what type of face that you're putting out to the public to sort of put out your message, that can deal with the media, that can understand Chicago, and that can understand the expectations, the history, and all these other things of this franchise.
So, Vincent, I know so much of this is going to depend on the autonomy that this new position has. But is it possible that the right person coming in is already looking at the summer of 2021 and saying, we can't get there in time? We're not going to be players for Giannis or for anybody else in that class, which is much better than the coming one, and that person has to be that higher regardless?
Well, I think you can't look at anything, in my opinion. You can't make a choice based off of next summer. Like, I think that would be so very short-sighted. That would be so very New York Knicksian. And you don't want to be, you know, making hires because, hey, we got to get a friend, we got to get a player in this particular class. You have to build your franchise back up from the ground up in terms of what you stand for, the type of players that you bring in, the type of team that you're building to make something attractive. You're not going to have someone come in and be, okay, well, this guy is here, so now, you know, Giannis is going to leave his situation in Milwaukee, where he's had years and years of sweat equity built up, to go join in with a quote-unquote general manager or president type. Like, I won't say it's going to take years and years to build that up, but you got to look at this holistically. You got to look at this as a 3-4 year process to, you know, figure out what you want to look like, start making moves. And then, you know, once you erase some of the negative things that have happened over the past few years and you clean some of that out, then you'll be, you know, in line for the next set of free agents. The thing about the NBA is this: the talent is as great as it's ever been. So there's always going to be the next crop of free agents that could be looking to move. And if you draft well enough, if you put yourself in a good enough position, you'll have something homegrown. You had something homegrown, remember? And you traded him on draft night of 2017 because you didn't feel like he could be making max money and leading a team that's a contending team, except he's kind of doing that right now in Miami.
What do you make of the puzzle that is the Philadelphia 76ers, real quickly, as we let you go? Because they're a different team at home than they are on the road. There's been all sorts of interpersonal drama, questions about if they're listening to the coach. You know, that's a team that has very quickly cemented themselves as in that cloud of contenders that now just have everybody trying to figure out exactly what's going on.
Well, you said quickly, so I'll just say this. When your best player doesn't develop his game, can't make free throws, and your other best player, you have to worry about him having to play consecutive, you know, games on a week-to-week basis. Neither guy really, their games don't mesh with each other. Clearly, the 76ers played multiple different ways. There's maturity issues, clearly. There's coaching issues there, clearly. You can't win on the road and you have a championship type of team. I got to look at the sideline. I got to look at your best players. I don't look at some of the ancillary parts, but I do wonder who's going to take shots in the fourth quarter, especially on the road. Even if you're a good team, games will get tight. And if you don't have someone who can create shots at a supremely high level, it doesn't matter that Ben Simmons is there or Joel Embiid is there. You need a Jimmy Butler-ish type of player. You need a Paul George-ish type of player. So I think there's issues from the top down. There's issues with the personnel, there's issues with coaching, there's issues, you know, with the front office. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got knocked out in the first round. Wow. And they started to have to change that whole thing all the way around.
Well, Zach LaVine would have been a great fit there then.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he could have been, but so much of this is about personality and it's about fit. And guys have to, those guys there have to be willing to give that space
Like, anybody can come there and be talented, but there has to be an acknowledgement or a respect of someone's talent. And Embiid and Simmons barely acknowledge and respect each other's talent in that way. They acknowledge that, hey, that guy is good. That guy's got it. But to be able to cede that space and let that guy be great for the greater good of the team, that's another level that these guys at that stage, they don't have yet.
Vincent, always great. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, take it easy, guys.
That is Vincent Goodwill, brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Love your kitchen again with new appliances from Grand Appliance and TV. Get extended President's Day sale pricing plus an additional 5% back on top appliance brands. Learn about these exclusive savings and more at grandappliance.com or a store near you. That's strong stuff on the Boylan opinion. That's how the nation feels. This is not a local writer, local broadcaster, local opinion.
The outside matters.
Yes.
The outside matters.
Especially
here
in that league. Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little baseball. We come back. Jim Deshaies is going to join us. He was part of the Marquee Network's debut over the weekend. We're talking a little Cubs with JD next. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.